Afternoon, everybody, or good evening, depending on what part of the nation you're listening to this on. Welcome to another session of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. And I am joined by someone who almost, back when we did a live recording of interviews before Shine 1, wow, that was a long time ago, was almost on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Because he was there visiting with a person who's no longer of any relevance to any of us. He is a former WWE superstar, my favorite ring announcer, and has recently returned to the United States after a whirlwind tour, literally whirlwind tour that we will address here, and other stuff. I welcome Ricardo Rodriguez to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
So here's the thing, right? So, all right. We all started with the same purpose of wrestling. That's all initiative of just pro wrestling. We all love pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, though. She's the current Shine champion, I believe.
Right? I think so.
Yeah, so I think she's the current Shine champion. Good for her. Obviously, they put the title on somebody who I think is worthy of carrying it. She's a good person, so we'll leave it at that. But aside from that, we've all done our thing as far as wrestling goes, and here's like the story that I want to tell. It's wrestling. It's not pro wrestling. It's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to get across, and this is what I was talking to you prior to the call. Just wrestling. So yeah, boom, that.
When you first told me, so I'm going overseas for a little while, and I said, oh, that's really cool. Where are you going? Said, I'm going to India to literally start something from ground level one. What was your initial thoughts on this? Because I had a completely amazed mind to think, okay, I knew Rinka King had gone over there with Jeff Jarrett and done stuff, but
yeah.
How ground level was what you were doing? Was it literally bare-boned and you built up? How did it start?
There's no way in hell that I can ever tell you this story without me sounding cocky. I apologize if I sound arrogant, but this is my baby, right? So, this is my child. This is what I brought up. There's no way in fucking hell that I can ever tell you this story without me sounding arrogant. So, about 6 months ago, I got hit up about, hey, we're doing this project in India, and you want to be a part of it? I was like, yeah. I was a trainer. I trained 100 students, nearly 100. When I first got there, it was 32
wow.
Students. By the time I finished, it was 100. I had 100 students. By the end of it, we ran three big shows.
Mm-hmm.
The first one drew 23,000. The second one drew 52,000, and I think the third one, because of weather, maybe 10,000. But these are shows that I put together.
Mm.
I put together. Like I put the effort and the direction of and myself with Kali and Jinder Mahal was so such a helpful. Obviously because he speaks Hindi, and then he knows how the direction goes, and then how to market Kali. So between the three of us, we pulled 50,000. That's more than a lot of like WWE pay per views, you know. So that's something that I'm very proud of. I think we're doing it again in July, I think, I believe.
Mm.
I'm not quite sure yet. So we're doing that again, coming up. So I'm very proud of that. Because that's my baby. That's my child. That's my product. That's my progress that I put into, you know.
What was the hardest thing with how much did these students know of wrestling, sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it? Were they 100% clueless, or did some people have an idea of what you were trying to teach?
They start from zero.
Oh, wow.
I start from zero. And then, like, here's another proud moment. They wrestled, like, international guys. And they were all very, very satisfied, very happy with my guys. They're my students. They're my kids. They're my fucking product. Sorry for cussing.
You're fine.
But, you know, so I brought them up. And this is the exact same thing that was doing with WWE. Just now I'm getting paid for it. So they're my product. And I'm happy, and I'm proud of them. I'm so goddamn proud of them.
Do you think any of these students would be coming over work in America? Do you think they want to do that, or are they happy being in India right now?
Unfortunately, there's no other product in India at the moment. Hopefully, what I'm hoping is that the guy who took over. His name is Daryl Sharma, from Santino's Academy, Battle Arts, Toronto. He took over, and I picked him personally to come in and take over. So I hope he takes care of him. I know he's a good dude. I've seen him and I've met him and I've wrestled with him for the last nine years. I know he's going to do a hell of a job with him. He speaks Hindi, so it definitely helps. I miss those fuckers. I really do. We have about four shows coming up. Maybe end of June.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with the backing of Khali and then like his sponsors, and I can't tell you enough. I can't tell you enough like how big of a dude, like how big of an impact he is in wrestling and just in general in India, because that motherfucker is a huge star. He equals up there with the Beatles, with the Rolling Stones, and I've said this in many interviews, but seriously, he's up there with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. I know not a lot of listeners were up there in the same age, but if they were able to see it, that's close to it.
Wow. What was the biggest cultural difference you went through going from living in the United States to there? Is it the beef thing that cows are literally supposedly walking around there, or what was it hard?
No, not at all. The language was different, but I lived in Mexico. I was born and raised in Mexico. Or I was born in LA, but I was raised in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the culture shock, but the only thing that's different is the language. We're all the same color. You know, at the end of the day, we're all the same color. We're all brown. Just different shades. But for me, honestly, it was just a good language. Eventually I picked it up because, I'm very keen on diversity. A lot of people don't know that at this point I speak five languages now. That whole Zara thing, no, for me that's legit. I speak five languages: Italian, Portuguese, Italiano, French. Well, they're all Latin-based, so I speak five languages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now now six with Hindi, and I speak it fluently, but. It's more so of a thing of just like We're all different, but at the same time, like, we're all the same.
Yeah. What's the hardest of the languages to have learned for you? Because I've always heard from folks that say that English, American English, is the hardest because there's so much slang in our dialect. What was the hardest one for you to learn?
It's ignorance. That's all it is. It's ignorance. If you want to adapt, you're going to adapt. It's all ignorance.
Oh, okay.
As Americans, we're so spoiled. We're so selfish. We really are. We're so full of ourselves, and it's bullshit, and it really is. That's why sometimes if you follow my Facebook and my Twitter, my Twitter got hacked into several months ago, like 2 months ago. So I haven't been on Twitter, I'm sorry. I haven't been on Twitter for about 2 months, 3 months. Hopefully there's nothing bad on it.
I hope not.
We're so spoiled as we are as Americans. It's bullshit. Like, when we really think about like how life works outside of the spectrum, like we're so fucking so full of ourselves. We are, and it's ridiculous and it's dumb. What we earn is in let's say. What we earn in one day is what they earn in a month.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So we're so fucking spoiled. The other day, I sent a package to my kids in India. I sent all gear. And I've said this many times, and nobody fucking did it. Right? And I've done it several times, where I was like, hey, if anybody has, like, old gear, just sent to my house. I'll send it to India. Nobody ever fucking did it.
That's crazy.
It's not a charity. It's not about charity.
Mm.
It's about giving you, like from the bottom of your heart, like really, like giving. Because it's bullshit. It's bullshit when somebody says, okay, yeah, well, I'll do it because I guess. No, dude, like do it because you want to. Do it because, like, you care. Do it because there's a little bit of a selfless hope in your heart that wants to do something. It's not a charity. Don't fucking treat it like charity. Fuck taxes. Oh, well, it's a tax dividend. Fuck off, dude. I don't want that. I want people that legitimately care. Because we are selfless. We're all selfish here in the U.S. We are. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. I know you said 30 minutes, so I have 10 minutes to kill.
I want to steer back to WWE, if it's all right with you. Because I said, from being friends with you while you were with the company, I've sat on so much stuff over the years that it's just like it's bursting out. This international explosion that we have seen while you've been overseas with Shinsuke Nakamura and Austin Aries and this new Australian team coming in, these are names that you and I talked about.
Dude. CMDK. I love them. I've wrestled them many times prior to them being here, and they are so awesome. I'm so ready for them to be here in the States. Not only that, I was just in Perth. They're from Perth, Eastern Australia, and I'm so ready for them to be here in the States so I can shoot the shit with them because I miss those guys. They're good dudes. And I'm pretty sure like your audience will love them.
What do you think of these names that I know you've mentioned to me now being signed? Is it WWE finally realizing, wow, there is a global market out there? Because now you can sit at your computer and watch Wrestle Kingdom 10 through New Japan's site. Is it just the timing's right now as opposed to a couple of years ago when you were a full-time member of the roster and helping out when Regal was training guys or auditioning guys at the beginning of Raws and SmackDowns?
That's funny you say that. Regal. I'm very happy that these guys are in the opportunity. They deserve it. They deserve everything happening. Hey, just come here. My puppy just came up from my bed. So if you hear like hustling, it's my dog.
That's okay.
I'm very happy. Like these guys and the shot, the opportunity, and especially after guys like Shane Hayes, like he paid his way to get to like tryouts from Australia to come to the U.S. to Los Angeles. I wrestled him, and I owe him a match because I was so sick the one match that like, I had with him. And I told him, I was like, dude, I owe you a match. And he was like, no, mate, it's fine. So I'm very happy that him like and Mikey like are getting the shot to come out of here. They're making it harder for guys like me to come back. But I appreciate them. I appreciate them so much. There's no jealousy. There's no sense of why him? No, fuck that. No, I'm very happy for my mates. I'm very happy for my friends. I'm very happy for my guys to come out of here and do a thing, especially with NXT, how big they're growing. They're much bigger than WWE. It honestly is, as far as the internet crowd goes. Because the internet crowd will fucking jack off over let me backtrack. The internet crowd will jack off over Nakamura when we have all known how awesome he is.
Right.
But they're fucking like jerking each other off over Nakamura and then Sami Zayn, because we all know it's gonna be good. We all know it's gonna be good. We all know that I don't know who Dev is going up against. I don't know. But we all know it's going to be good. Joe, I think he's going to... Is it Dev versus Joe?
I believe it's Finn Balor for the title. Yeah, I think it's him and Fergal. All
right, so Dev and Joe.
Yeah.
I've seen that PWG, right? So, you guys, right? I was as a Jewish sweat box. I've seen it there, and I know it's gonna be good. But we're all fucking jacking off over, oh my god, like this is gonna happen. Like, yeah, we've all seen it before. We've all been on the indie. You know, like, fucking stop, grow up, fucking pair of balls. It's gonna be good. I know it's gonna be good.
What do you think of this global cruiserweight thing that they're going to do on the network now? Was that something that had always been in the background in WWE, or do you think this is just something recent because of the relationship they set up with Evolve?
I knew about it a couple months ago, and like they hit me up, and they're like, hey, who do you have in mind? I was like, well, this guy, obviously, like, for me, as soon as they said it, I was like, William Ospreay.
Right.
After he was like another main guy, like Ricochet, William Ospreay, here locally, Lince Dorado. And I hope they get the call, because it's not like a contract thing. He's just like, who do you think? I was like, William Ospreay, Ricochet, Lince Dorado, Los Pendejos, Mr. 450. So hopefully they get the call. I don't know what the final thing is, but I just heard that the whole thing over in England with this progress. So I hope something happens for me.
What? I know. I'm trying to think of a way to word this without it coming off weird. I know from talking with you.
Just say it out.
Okay. Is it true or rumor that you were going before Raws and SmackDowns, you were helping Regal in the ring, and a WWE executive called you out on it, saying, well, that's not your role to do that.
Yeah. No, that's actually true. Before Raw and SmackDown, if any of the guys that you ever speak to after this, they will tell you, like, who are the guys to go seek out? It was Ricardo and Regal. If Regal is not available, who do you go look out for? Go to Ricardo. Talk to him.
Right.
I was in charge with, unofficially, I was in charge with Regal to go talk to the locals. Because that was my unofficial job. Unofficial. I'm going to stress that quite a few times. So that was my gig for several months. Just to, hey, go out there when the guys come in and do the tryouts. This is where I think a lot of my karma, my bad stuff came from too.
Mm-hmm.
And I will definitely get to it. It was like, hey, talk to Ricardo, because Regal would just come in, do his thing, and then go do his thing, which that's fine. But I was always by the ring, so a lot of guys would come and talk to me, guys and girls.
Right.
This is where I'm getting at. All right. So a lot of the guys and girls would come and say, hey, how did I do this? I'd be like, oh, you know, such and such, you know, keep in touch. I'll talk to you. I'll keep in touch. It was never anything that had to do with, like, oh, hey, you're a girl. You're this. So let's bone. I'm like, no, fuck off, dude. So I think that's like a lot of my stigma came from. It's like, no, listen, that was my position. I'm going to tell you what's up. They're not interested. They're interested. Yeah, you're an attractive person. You have a good build. Guy or girl, you have a good build, but work on your charisma, work on this, work on that.
Right.
Because I was there, I was there with the office when they decided yes or no. A lot of them would come up and then just like, hey, so what happened? Oh, shit, I don't know. Just give it time. So they stuck with me. I was like, four months later. So what happened? Fuck, I don't know. Just hold on. Just wait. So they were continuing, hit me up. And then eventually, like, hey, they're not interested at the time. Maybe in a couple months. And they were just like, fuck off. There's a lot of names right now that are hired, which I told them, you know, this is just like shooting the shit. I told them, Athena. hey, they're interested. Just hold on. They're interested. Just hold on. You're a good talent. Just hold on. And then they got hired, and then they fucked off. I haven't heard from them since then. There's so many of them. Just hang in there. Just hang in there. They're interested. Just hang in there. You're Callisto, you're Athena, several talent that is so good, so talented. And they did it all themselves. They did it all themselves. But the whole time I was telling them, just hold on. Just stay in there because they're interested. Just stay in there. And then they hired and then they disappeared, you know?
Damn.
And that's shitty. It is shitty.
Mm.
You know the nature of the beast.
Sadly, I do. Before we wrap up this session, I need to bring up my 7-year-old who was a little younger when she watched, knew that you're Daddy's friend, and her favorite bit of anything that you and Del Rio did was the two of you impersonating Zeb and Jack Swagger, where you look like a turtle. Who is that? 100% you? That thing? Who came up with that thing?
No, that was all Vince. And seriously, the whole way it all came up with is all Vince. And then he was very careful about the whole thing. So he put us in a room so that Jack and Zeb wouldn't see us. So if you ever go back, and see the whole video, and you see Jack and Zeb's reaction.
Yeah.
Because they had no idea. They knew we were doing something. But they didn't know what we were doing. So that was I fucking miss Vince sometimes. I really do. He likes legitimate actions. Like, you know. So that was all legit, Vince. And Swags and Zeb just reacting. So if you ever get a chance, go back and watch it.
I'm just trying.
I apologize. I do apologize. I gave a lot of shit before I got on. I'm just giving a lot of shit.
It's all good. Okay, hold on the line. Don't disappear. We're going to wrap this session up, and we're going to see if we can negotiate with Ricardo's agent to get him to stick around for a few more minutes with another session here in Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. We'll see. We may have to get him Iron Sheik money. I don't know how hard we can do that. We'll have to see. But he eventually will be back on Twitter, at RRWWE. I am at My Name is Wojcik. Stay with us here on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. We'll be back with another session in a moment or two.